Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now, coming up near the end of this hour, we are going to talk to the legendary knuckleball pitcher, Tim Wakefield of the Boston Red Sox. And we've got a little Twitter pop quiz going for all you baseball fans out there. From 2004 to 2008, Tim Wakefield had the slowest average fastball in the major leagues. How slow was it? Tweet me your guess at Brian Lehrer, and the closest person gets an on-air shout-out when we talk to Wakefield in about 20 minutes, okay? Wakefield had the slowest average fastball in the majors from 2004 to 2008. How slow was it? It's a Twitter pop quiz. Tweet your answer to at Brian Lehrer. But right now, Arizona Governor Jan Brewer is no stranger to introducing controversial proposals. And last week, she put forth another one to charge a $50 fee to Medicaid recipients who smoke and to those who are obese and not following doctor's orders to lose weight. There has been a flurry of reaction on all sides about this, and of course it begs the bigger question, should individuals pay for their unhealthy behavior in general if it becomes a cost to society? Janet Adami, health policy reporter at the Wall Street Journal, is here to help us understand how it would work. Also with us is Kyrsten Sinema, Democratic State Senator in Arizona, to share her thoughts. Good morning, Janet, and good morning, Senator Sinema.
Thanks for having
me. Good morning.
How are you? And, Senator, since you're there in Arizona, thank you so much for getting up early to do this. And, listeners, we asked before the break, should we go down that road? Our lines are already full. As people finish up, you can get in at 212-433-9692. And, Janet, walk us through the basics of this proposal. How would it actually work?
Sure. So the way it would work, and just to be clear, it's a proposal at this point, so it hasn't been passed into law, but there are two groups of Medicaid recipients who would pay an extra fee. Now, Medicaid, as most people know, is that's the health insurance program for low-income earners. It's jointly administered by state and state governments and the federal government. And under this proposal, what would happen is if you are somebody who is considered obese, you would be asked to follow a doctor-supervised plan to help you improve your health and lose weight. And if you didn't adequately adhere to that plan, then you would have to pay an extra $50 fee per year to stay in the Medicaid program. The same thing applies to smokers. So anybody who smokes would also have to pay the $50 fee.
Senator Sinema, are you for this?
No, there's a lot of problems with this legislation. One of the examples, for instance, is my grandma. My grandma is on both Medicaid and Medicare. She was a widow at the age of 25 and raised three kids on her own, so she is poor and lives on a fixed income. She has diabetes, which runs in my family. And so basically, if her doctor decided that she weren't following his plan to a T, she could be charged a $50 fee. Well, my grandma can't afford that. It's not her fault she has diabetes. And I can tell you she does her best to manage it right now. So to ask her to pay $50 because she may not be able to meet the demands of her doctor is not fair to her.
Janet, is this sort of thing entirely unprecedented as far as you know? Are there other examples, maybe in the private sector?
Well, as far as we know, in the public sector, that this is not the kind of thing that the federal government has done before. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services says they've never approved this kind of a fee. And keep in mind, Medicaid is an entitlement program. It doesn't work like a private insurance program where you have people being charged different prices based on their health conditions. However, in the private sector, we have seen certain examples of this. There are some large employers who insure their workers who charge smokers a higher fee. You've also had some public companies like the grocery chain Safeway has tried to reduce some of the cost sharing for employees who improve their health in certain ways. So there is some precedent in the private sector, but in the public sector, as far as we know, no state has ever done something like this in Medicaid.
Sean in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sean.
Public companies like the grocery chain.
Sean, you're on the air.
Reduce some cost.
Hi, Sean. Turn your radio off, okay?
Health
Sean, listen to me on the phone. Turn your radio off. Hi. You're on the air right now, Sean.
Okay. Yeah, again, I'm not an extreme rightist or an extreme leftist, but I do believe that if you do charge someone an extra $50 fee, and I was just listening to the radio about someone who was speaking about their grandmother who has diabetes, it wouldn't be fair for them to pay for a particular $50 fee. However, I think that that particular fee will increase self-accountability and self-responsibility.
So you're for this accountability and responsibility. Sean, thank you. Adele in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. One thing, how do you actually define overweight? By how many pounds? And people have a different metabolism. Some people could eat a sundae and never gain a pound. Somebody else will eat a piece of bread and put on weight right away. So I don't know if it's that easy a thing to define. I have no objection to try to encourage people to eat, you know, a healthy diet. I'm not sure if that actually is the way, because as I say sometimes, it's not that easy to define.
Adele, thank you very much. And Senator, how is it defined in Governor Brewer's proposal? Is it specific as to how obesity is defined?
It's not defined at all. And so the doctor in each situation would have full discretion to determine whether or not the patient requires the plan and whether or not the patient is following the plan. And that's concerning because, of course, you could have some doctors who have a very different definition of who's following a plan, what kind of plan to put someone, how strict it is. So there's really no assurance that people will be treated fairly under this situation. The other thing that's concerning is that the proposal that the governor has submitted to the Center for Medicaid Services doesn't address the issues of individuals who have severe disabilities or thyroid disease. So it doesn't take into account individuals who may be obese through no fault of their own or through a medical condition that they don't have a lot of control over. And that causes concern because that means that the application could be capricious and unfair.
Jean in Old Bridge, you're on WNYC. You like this idea?
Well, actually, I am a smoker, and I actually think that I should pay. There are some things that come up, although I am a private insurer. You know, I'm with private insurance, and but I do believe that, you know, people that overeat, and it's an addiction. It's an addiction, just like it is with smoking. And I do believe that we have to address that. And I don't believe that, you know, paying $50 a year more is wrong. I think we owe it to the taxpayers.
Thank you very much. James in Greenpoint, you're on WNYC. Hi, James.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, now, I'm a building super. I've had 5 fires in the last 25 years. Each fire was caused by smoking. They should have a special dedicated percentage of that money, and plus on the taxes of the cigarettes, and give it to the fire department instead of closing down the fire departments. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Paul in Morris Township, you're on WNY. Oh, Morristown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paul.
Hi, good afternoon. I just don't know how much longer we can continue to not hold people accountable for their behavior if, in fact, we're going to be willing to support it through programs like Medicaid. We're getting to the end of the road here where we just can't afford to keep spending and acting like people shouldn't be held accountable. And to address the senator's concerns, we all know that by the time this would become law, it would be so watered down with exceptions anyway that your thyroid problems and your diabetes problems would probably get a waiver from a physician.
Paul, thank you. And from Paul to Paula in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paula.
Hi. I'm just finding it remarkable that I heard earlier on the program about how everyone wanted government out of, you know, the hair. The Republicans want to get government out of everyone's hair. And here they are cherry picking and saying, now we're going to get involved. And we want to be involved in what people do as far as ingesting food and smoking. And I just can't believe that they expect people to not hear that dichotomy there.
Thank you for your call. So let me go back to Arizona Democratic State Senator Kyrsten Sinema. Senator, this is an informal, unofficial, and thoroughly unscientific poll. But of our 10 lines, the first 10 people to call in, 8 of them are for this idea. So you were hearing a representative sample as I went through the calls of people who felt strongly enough to immediately call in on this. Does that surprise you, and is it what you're hearing from your constituents?
Because I think everyone can agree that in general we want to hold people accountable for their decisions. I agree. I mean, you're talking to a state senator who just ran a marathon 6 weeks ago. So I'm all in favor of being fit and healthy, don't smoke, don't drink, and I exercise. And I believe that's part of my personal responsibility. But what's important to note, and this is something that perhaps many of the callers don't have a duty to think about, but I as a lawmaker and a steward of the people of Arizona do have to think about, and that is the exceptions. I have to think about the people who can be unfairly hurt. The unintended consequences of legislation are my job to consider. And again, someone like my grandma with diabetes, someone who has thyroid disease, can be unfairly targeted by this legislation because it doesn't adequately address these issues. I think the better solution, Brian, is to do what many states and communities are already doing, which is to provide positive incentives and negative disincentives for people to make better choices. Rather than having government mandate or control what people do, we should use market-based strategies to influence people's behavior. For instance, here in Arizona, our cigarette taxes are so high that we've seen a drop of smoking of well over 30% in the last several years. That's a market-based solution that makes sense.
And Janet Adami, health policy reporter with the Wall Street Journal, you reported in your article on this that in Arizona, 25% of residents were considered obese as of 2009, and about 46% of Arizona's Medicaid enrollees smoke daily. So this would influence a lot of people on Medicaid in the state if this fee for bad health behaviors actually took effect, wouldn't it?
Yeah, potentially it would, but there's a sort of a broader context here that I think is important to keep in mind, which the governor's office points out. The reason that they're doing this is that they had to put through a plan of Medicaid cuts last year that were that they got a lot of strong pushback against. The governor wants to cut something that she actually finalized this year, cut 250,000 adults from the program, and she also reduced organ transplant coverage for certain enrollees in Medicaid. So the plan that she put out last week that contains the obesity fee and the smoking fee is designed to allow the state to reverse that organ transplant cut so people would now be able to get organ transplants. It would also reduce the number of adults that they had to cut from the Medicaid program down from 250,000 to about 135,000.
Right, and when that original plan came out, the big brouhaha was over a limit on transplants for certain people, right? And we had another member of the Arizona legislature on at that time to explain why he thought that was okay, but I guess that went away because of all the controversy. By the way, we just got an email from Medicaid in Arizona from the spokesperson there, which says that this concept is designed only with non-disabled, childless adults on Medicaid in mind. Senator, does that mitigate it at all?
No, because my grandmother would still fit in that category. A childless adult is anyone whose child is 19 years or over. And my grandma is not disabled, but she does have a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes, which is hereditary, and she could still be punished. I want to correct something that Janet said, and this is really important for people to understand. The organ transplant issue in Arizona has absolutely nothing, zero, to do with the governor's request to ask Medicaid at the federal level to allow her to make these adjustments. The transplant issue is a state-based decision. It has nothing to do with the governor's waiver or her waiver request that's been submitted. Now, when she submitted her waiver request, she said to the federal government, "Dear federal government, if you let me cut all these people off of health care, and if you let me make these changes, then I will restore transplants." But the two have nothing to do with each other. The governor can restore organ transplant funding at any moment, at any time, and she can do so with the full support of the legislature. So it's disingenuous and, frankly, inaccurate for her to tie those two issues together.
And
they have no connection at all.
And Senator, just so we're clear, the transplant issue, was I mistaken a moment ago when I say that those proposed restrictions did not go through? They did go through?
They did go through, and in fact, two people have already died in Arizona as a result of not getting their transplants. There are 96 additional Arizonans who were cut off the transplant list and are in the process of dying right now. Now, the governor has said she will only restore the transplants if the federal government approves her waiver request, which includes
the proposal that we're talking about today and this additional fee. It's not likely that the Center for Medicaid Services will approve this. As Janet mentioned earlier, they've never approved such a request. And so we're unsure about whether or not the governor actually intends to restore transplants. As of this moment, Brian, people in Arizona who need transplants and who are on access are not getting them. They are not on a list. They are not going to get their transplants. They will die.
And when we talk about the only non-disabled childless adults proposed to be hit with this behavior fee, one could argue, I guess, that an eating disorder is a disability, or an addiction to smoking is a disability, or some kind of medical condition, psychological condition, however you want to describe it, in and of itself. But I guess under the law, Janet, that wouldn't apply?
Well, the idea with the non-childless adults is that this is a population that's sort of it's sort of what the governor's office would describe as an extra covered population. So under federal law, they hadn't previously had to insure these people. A couple of years ago, they expanded their Medicaid program to start insuring this particular population. And now that Arizona is under some more budget pressure, originally they were just going to have to cut coverage for this group of 250,000 people altogether. They were going to make that decision. What they're saying now is, okay, well, we'll try for about half of those people, we'll try to retain the coverage, but within that population, we are going to put in these extra surcharges to try to raise additional revenue so we can keep covering these people.
Now, Senator, you're a Democratic state senator in Arizona. I wonder if you have a first-day reaction to Republican Congressman Paul Ryan's plan. Oh, the senator, we lost the senator? Okay, we lost the senator, but we still have Janet Adamy, health policy reporter at the Wall Street Journal, as we talk about the Arizona governor's proposal to charge a $50 fee to Medicaid recipients who smoke and those who are obese and not following doctor's orders to lose weight. Let's take another call. Tom in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hello, Tom. Tom, are you there?
Oh, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. It's interesting that the government sanctioned food pyramid that came out in the mid late 70s. Ever since then, the rate of obesity has spiked, and the science is pretty clear that grains and breads and those kinds of things get converted into sugar, and that's what makes us fat. So, until the government decides that it wants to look at the actual science, then maybe they should.
Until we settle the fat versus carbs debate, then it's not fair of the government to declare people's eating habits unhealthy. I got you. I think we have Senator Sinema back with us now. Do we or not? I think I see her line up there. No. Okay. Let me go to Ondine in Hoboken. Hi, Ondine.
Hi. I'm so excited. Please revisit this topic for an hour soon. I was just having this conversation yesterday, so this is really weird. I'm a yoga instructor, but it takes me a lot of effort to stay lean and mean. You know, I love French fries. I like to smoke, but I don't. And I think that this affects me directly. I pay my insurance privately, and I know there's many reasons why it costs so much money. But to have a normal HMO that, you know, covers everything, mm-hmm. it's like $700 a month that I have to pay out of my pocket. I actually can't afford it anymore. And I think part of the reason is because everyone goes to the doctor so much. I never have to go to the doctor because I really work hard to be healthy. But all my friends that smoke have a cold every month. I never get a cold. All my friends that are overweight, they go to the doctor constantly. They're always on medication.
So should they have higher?
I'm not better than they are, but I work really hard to be healthy.
So should they have higher health insurance premiums than you do because of that?
I think so. I know there's plenty of reasons, and it's the the companies and blah blah. But we go to the mm-hmm. doctor a lot, and I go to Texas a lot, and I go to restaurants sometimes, and people are gigantic. I'm not criticizing Texas, and I have a lot of sympathy. But, I mean, I wish the president could address this, but I know that he would never get away with it. But
Ondine, I have to leave it there because we're running out of time, and we have to go to our next guest in a minute, and our current guests have to leave us, actually. But, Senator, just a quick response from you, if I could, on the Paul Ryan Medicaid reform proposals announced yesterday, which would turn Medicaid, instead of into an entitlement, half funded by the federal government for any person poor enough, it would become a block grant to the states. And then Arizona and every other state would have to figure out how to cover, you know, more people if tough times hit like these times and more people are on Medicaid or whatever. What do you think the impact on Arizona would be in our last 30 seconds if Medicaid were turned into a block grant flat fee?
Well, the impact on Arizona would be dramatic because Arizona is the second poorest state in the country right now after Louisiana. And we've been hit very hard by this recession, which means we have more people who are poor and more people who are on our Medicaid program. The problem with keeping a block grant is then we have less dollars to keep those people healthy, which means they will show up in emergency rooms to get their care, which, as we all know, is 12 times more expensive than receiving primary care. So it actually will just shift the burden onto private industry, the healthcare industry, the hospital industry, and not alleviate any of the real problems. I think the plan that's been passed by Congress already to shift Medicaid costs more to the federal government and less on the states is a better plan because it allows for fair cost sharing and primary coverage instead of tertiary coverage of Americans.
That's the Obama plan, and that is so far one of the less discussed important aspects of the new Ryan proposal. Everybody's been talking about Medicare, but the Obama plan takes Medicaid more onto the federal government. The Ryan plan shifts it much, much more onto the states. So, State Senator Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona and Janet Adami, health policy reporter with The Wall Street Journal, thank you so much for a great conversation.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
And to all of you who called on this, thank you very much. We will finish up today for our last few minutes with Red Sox legend Tim Wakefield. He's got a book on being a knuckleball pitcher. And, you know, we will ask him about Red Sox-Yankees rivalry over the years and on being middle-aged in a young man's game. He's 44 years old and still pitching in the majors. Stay with us.